Isaiah 25 and 26 were read on Pentecost in the ancient times. I wonder if we're going to set him, if he's going to set himself on fire now. All right, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, and shall never again be built. Therefore shall a strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noises of strangers. Now, this is being applied to the city, Jerusalem. Jerusalem that says, the book of Revelation calls Sodom and Gomorrah. Thou shalt bring down the noise of the strangers as a heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people, the veil that is spread over all nations. Now, the veil that was spread over all nations that this is speaking of is what happened at the Tower of Babel on the Feast of Pentecost when God confused language. We've talked about this so often, but remember, you had to learn, and there had to be a societal conspiracy to agree that these various grunts and groans would mean something, and these little scratches would mean something, and you had to be taught very carefully the meaning of those things. Well, to me, that teaching of the grunts and groans meaning certain things, the words meaning certain things, is the veil that is kept man from seeing or crossing over into the mystery of God. I know that's controversial, but think about it. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away the tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest. And this one is especially for Michael. And Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. Now, this process of destroying, as if by the hands of the Lord, destroying the walls and the fortresses and the high places. You know, I mean, it happened in the Mount of Israel, but it has to happen in your mind. Otherwise, the veil will continue to be there. I mean, just think. I don't know if you've watched. I'm sure you have, but maybe not lately. You've watched a child learn language, and it's like this slow, painful process that you teach and teach and teach and teach and teach and teach, and then you learn all the rules of grammar and verb usage and all the verb tenses. Well, all of those have tended to cause us to not see, because we can't hear. Our ears are not circumcised, and the veil is over our eyes because of language. And I know that's hard to understand, because language is the thing that society worships more than anything, because it's what caused society to happen.
Could it be compared to blueprints? How the blueprint is the model, is what's used to express the type, but at some point that has to be abandoned in the language. What I'm hearing is the same thing. At some point you have to realize it's just the prefiguration or whatever.
Well, it's worse than that. It's the veil. It's not a type of anything. Because there are no words for spirit. The closest language to me that has ever existed to describe and understand spiritual things is Hebrew. And it was supposedly the original language of Adam and Eve. Who knows? When he named the names. But remember, you got to remember this. Adam could not fall until he had named names. Until he had named. Once he named, then the fall was possible, because he had the tools to not live in this moment of dependency as a bird flying or a tree growing. Now, it had to be that way, just as there are five grains for which you can prepare matzah, unleavened bread. But the only grain, the only thing that you can use to prepare matzah is that which is capable of containing leaven or being leavened. And so the whole idea is that Adam had the capacity to transform that innocence into holiness. God doesn't care about innocence. That's a dime a dozen. He cares about holiness. And holiness is tested innocence. And we had to go. I'm not saying that God made a mistake. He's wrought all our works in us. But we had to go through this thing of language so that we come to the point of no language, of dependency. That's why the Bible isn't the Word of God. The Bible is words about the Word. The Word of God is inexpressible with words. And that's why the idea of trying to understand the mystery of godliness by words, even self-words, self-talk, as soon as you do, then it's a barrier. That's why the emptiness is the only way to be apprehended. I mean, you know, you see it constantly. And again, now it's time that emptiness and all of these things, and the hand of the Lord isn't going to go destroy it unless you are willing in the day of His power. That scripture, that my people are willing in the day of my power, is applied directly to Pentecost. And it doesn't mean power like boom. It's power like tried, perfect efficacy. Sure ability. Now all of the gimmicks and cunning devices that have been the normal way of living since you became aware of yourself and begin to learn words, those are all the cunning devices. Now the emptiness must be total. I hope you understand this, at least some some level. Anybody?
This reminds me of the injunctions about thou shalt make no graven image and no similitude of me unto an animal and things. Words are graven images.
Yeah, we've talked about that 100 times.
But it becomes the thing that goes on inside here are the words. So when you're focusing on this, you're not seeing everything other than this. It's just not possible for God to be contained in words.
This is why, you remember, there was first the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Then there was the sight. So what you hear is what you see. If you can't see, if you can't hear, if your ears aren't circumcised, if you're still using all of the fruit of the curse to try to understand and apprehend that which is blessed, you know, I'm sure somebody listens, well, they're just talking about some kind of mysticism or something. No, I'm not. I'm talking about the reality of the fullness of Christ that doesn't need our words or our cooperation. He needs our emptiness, and he needs all of the walls and fortresses and templates that you've built in order that you could have survived, now to come crashing down so that there is true humility and true emptiness on this feast day of the Lord. Remember, each of these feasts, first Passover and now Pentecost, take place on the threshing floor so that only everything, the chaff and the wheat, everything except the seed is blown away. And the only seed is the sperma of God. Only that which came from eternity can return to eternity. He alone has immortality. And the way, especially English is, I mean, any of you read that, the newsletter from Haley? The one before this one that just came out, it was about the Czech language and how difficult it was to learn. And I responded to her. I said, "You finally understood something. I can't own anything in the Hebrew language. All I can do is say it's near me. I can't even be hungry. I can't have anything. There's no." I can't say these are my glasses. The best I can say is these are near me. Because the concept, and I can't say it's just goofy. I just want somehow to break through for you to see how much language and words have hindered you from understanding this mystery or being apprehended by it. It's seminal. This is why these feasts mostly are about destruction. Is this making sense to anybody but me? I'm not claiming to understand it all, but I see a little bit of it. And I see how that my words and my mind have been my mortal enemy. They're all the tools of the instead of Christ. So he shall spread, in the mountains shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. He shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. He shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, bring to the ground, even to dust.
This is about Jerusalem?
Your Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem is the Antichrist. This thing. That's where you go for your rules and laws and how you respond to stimulus. I mean, he did it at the real Jerusalem. That's why it's so ridiculous about, you know, the Antichrist is going to go over there and rebuild the temple and blah, 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 blah. That's just crazy. But again, it's the fruit of what happens if you understand, try to understand the mystery with your mind. I feel like I'm speaking Greek here or something. You all really understand that?
To me, this is another, it's like you, it's got down, it's part of the simplicity of abandoning self. It's another huge part of who you are that if you see what you're talking about, that's trashed. You don't trust in those images, those words, those concepts to justify yourself.
You are they that justify yourselves among men. How do you justify yourself? By use of concepts which are learned and words which are learned. You're already egotists, all men are, already hardwired for self-seeking. But there's no language in the world that's more hardwired to self-seeking than English. So what's our hope? The only hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everything else is flawed. Everything else is tainted. Everything else is a part of the curse. Now, with that as the understanding, let's try to read Isaiah 26. Anybody have any expansions or...
I have some frustration when you talk about understanding the mystery, because that's like that those words, understanding the mystery. If you understood, it wouldn't be a mystery.
It says the mystery which has been hid from all ages, that mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the only mystery. Now to see the fullness of what that means. The fullness of the mystery, but by faith I see that that is my only rock, my only foundation, my only basis of life, my only being. My senses aren't reliable. Nothing else is reliable. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Now, I understand that, and it brings to mind what you said about innocence being worthless, tested innocence being holiness. Sort of relates back, not sort of, I see it clearly when you talk about taking risk. And I see those risks as you approach this mystery thing. You, when you get there, you just can't lay down and say, well, that's it, as far as I can go. It's a continuing to, push the envelope, to use the cliche, so that more of it might be comprehended or revealed. In some fashion, am I going the right direction?
Yeah, it's always risk. It's always risk to this and the value systems that this represents.
And language, any attempt we make to quantify or qualify comes from us. It's got to be self-motivated.
Right. And again, especially English. That's what's so weird. The reason that the English-speaking world has been so successful is because in relationship to the other languages, is because of the idea of ownership. You know, you couldn't imagine Navajos or the Sioux to ever be industrialist, and because their language certainly doesn't permit ownership.
You know, the words understand the mystery implies that this is going to at some point comprehend something that will move it to the other side, but the understanding destroys this, and he is revealed, and that's the understanding. It's not
right.
A mental process.
Right, and the only way that can happen is emptiness.
Yeah.
And it's even emptiness beyond words. This is what he was talking about, the poor, the meek, the needy. All those things simply mean a deeper and deeper and deeper manifestation of empty. The poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the empty. And so the only purpose of study is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. The only thing that I ever did when I spent all those years translating and word studies and everything is it caused deeper repentance. It caused me to see the stupidity and of how I depended on words or depended on my ability to take two disparate things and put them together. Well, it's like kindergarten compared to God stuff. This guy that was here the other day, he's like, I've got an IQ of 153 and I don't understand this. Well, because none of us do.
It's interesting because what you do is highly esteemed among men sometimes, myself included at times. But from where you sit, what you do is not esteemed at all.
No, it's just stupid.
You proclaim that often, and so it's a funny contrast to understand that's a real thing.
No, I mean, I've said it from the day that I became a believer. What I've done and are doing is stupid. I mean, it's just crazy.
And you wouldn't be doing it if you had a lot of money or had a lot of success.
Okay, we're going to go over a little bit. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. In which day? On the day of Pentecost, on the day of, which is the judgment day, which is the day of Passover, which, I mean, they're all the same. But it's in that day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. It's and if you remember once the song of Moses when he crossed, when they crossed the Red Sea, the song of Moses was sung in that day. Well, that day is the day of eternity. It's always that day if you're in that day. And it's never that day if you're in time. That day is the day of no more breath to time. Now listen, we have a strong city, the New Jerusalem, not the old one that was the type built with dust. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation, a righteous people, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth only in thee. Trust you in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Yahweh, Jehovah, remember we've talked about that, is everlasting strength, everlasting peace, everlasting joy. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. And again, remember, we're not talking about, I mean, obviously he's talking about, you know, nations and kingdoms, but it's primarily where you dwell in your mind. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, and even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. That's what we trod down underfoot. No value system has importance. There's no self-image that has any importance. There's no words that have any importance. It's Him and Him alone. Everything else is dust. The way of the just is uprightness. The most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgment, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Because he didn't hear it. Since he didn't hear it, he can't see it. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. But by thee only will we now make mention of thy name. In other words, no matter what it was always God. But we have named those other things separate from him for all these years, and those lords have had dominion over us. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. And all of that memory, even of that way of living, can perish on Pentecost. The way of living, of constantly leaning on your own arm of understanding and figuring it out, and all this crap can go forever, and you live in only 100% dependence on him. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Nothing else. The government is on his shoulders, not on mine. That's enough. See, that's not what I wanted to study.
You never told us about Joanna.
No, you never did.
Well, we'll have to wait, won't we?
Hey, I'm good with that.
I know, but you've got to calm Michael down.
Michael.
Anybody have anything click today? Anything come to clarity?
Thinking about the interaction between, our language and judging good and evil, because that's the vehicle that we...
Sure.
Like, everything about us is...
Comparison.
Screwed up.
Yeah. And it's...
Every aspect of what it is that we do.
It's like these guys that I just... they're going to hide the word in their heart by memorizing by memorizing the Bible. I mean, that's about as worthless as jacking off of one if you get a kid. I mean, it's just crazy. I didn't say that.
Yeah. And what's really sick?
Anybody else? Before I grossed you out? Well, I'm sure I didn't gross you out, but I might have grossed out somebody that's listening.
That seems weird at first.
He didn't gross you out. Don't tell me. What?
It seems weird at first in Isaiah 26 talking about the destruction of the Jerusalem, but at the same time talking about how joyful that time is.
Right. That's why you got to understand, every time we sing the Hallel, it does that. The Hallel, singing the Hallel, is the lot of the age of Messiah, the Messianic age. It isn't about... because you remember on the Feast of Tabernacles, they sung it again, so they could ascend to the real Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, mother of us all. Read what happened to Isaiah, what happened to Ezekiel, what happened to Jeremiah, and you'll begin to understand. Read the Revelation. It says Jerusalem is the city of harlots. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, it's not talking about necessarily that one. It ain't any worse than any of the others, but it's talking about your Jerusalem, which is your board of elders, your Sanhedrin up in your mind, and the high places, the seven mountains that you go up to visit every time you need something. Under every green tree. I sent some of you the weather forecast for this weekend. It changed massively. It's going to be 92 tomorrow, and then 91 on Saturday, and then 85 or 86 on Sunday.
No, it's just light or sun.
It's not summer yet.
It's
not summer yet.
Always is summer.
Take a big guy.
God talking about his IQ. I was thinking about as a community, we must have a totally combined IQ. It's like 180, 180.